All right, so I'm joined here on the line by Todd Hoffman, the People's Party of Canada candidate for the riding of Pontiac-Kittigan-Zeebee. We've already done a bit of an overview of his candidacy, but this interview is going to be a little more focused on policy and just how the campaign's gone thus far. Todd, how's it going?
Very good, Caleb.
So first off, can you talk a little bit about how your campaign has gone thus far?
Pretty good. Pretty good for being a small team in such a vast geographic riding, been all the way up to Maniwaki, Chelsea, Cantley, down at the La Pateau. Be honest with you, spending more of my time in the Pontiac, but I would say, fair bits of time in the other regions of the riding, and going to be getting up there even again more in the next 2 weeks. So going pretty good, getting some good reception. Nothing that's been very negative. It's all been pretty positive, so I'm encouraged by that.
And so is this your, I understand this is your first foray, at least into federal politics here as well?
Any politics. The only time I ever got engaged in anything that was political, where I sort of stuck my neck out, was in the last provincial election in Quebec a couple of years ago, where we formed a group and we took on some third-party political action, basically, which was opposing the mandates, body autonomy, opposing Bill 96, and also calling for free farming. I was volunteered in the past with other political parties, but never as a candidate or anything like that. So basically, this is my first time in politics based upon a firm party line and as a candidate.
And is it, I guess, different about what you imagined, or I guess talk about your expectations here going in and what you found?
Well, it's more time consuming for sure. I know I signed up for this and I knew that it would take time, more time consuming than I thought. But hey, if you want to be a member of parliament, you have to put everything into it and all your time. And I'm not shy of working. I worked my whole life, you know, six and a half days a week. So, campaigning, it takes a lot of work for sure, especially when you have a small team with a smaller party like the PPC. But you know what? It invigorates me and I'm getting a lot of pleasure out of it and meeting a lot of new people and hearing a lot of interesting stories. So it's very educational.
And one main plank here in the PPC's platform that I know you've talked about quite a bit, and I believe it was part of the split initially there from Mr. Bernier from the Conservative Party in the first place, was supply management. And obviously it's an issue around here with plenty of dairy farms and that kind of thing. Can you talk a little bit about your party stance and why you guys believe what you do about supply management?
Sure. Well, we oppose supply management on a variety of levels. First of all, it's not fair to the Canadian consumer. Canadian consumer, we believe in Canada, is paying too much for dairy products, poultry, and eggs. We got one sector of the agricultural community, which is the dairy and poultry farmers, that are guaranteed a gate price and they're set with quotas. Meanwhile, the beef farmer doesn't get that. The produce farmer doesn't get that. The hops grower doesn't get that. But I mean, they get that. Why they get that is they have a very strong, an extremely strong lobby group in Canada. So, of course, the PPC is against special interest groups or against lobbyists. We believe in a free market. We don't believe in a controlled market. And, you know, the supply management system within Canada is looked upon disfavorably all around the world. It's not just the Americans that have a beef with it. The Europeans do. I mean, it limits European cheese coming into Canada. For sure, the New Zealand dairy community has very strong opposition to it. I mean, in the Southern Hemisphere, New Zealand is the largest producer of dairy in that part of the world. And they were being barred from bringing dairy products into Canada, like out on the West Coast, like BC, like butter and other dairy items like that, because Canada had opposed upon New Zealand, like 200% tariffs. New Zealand in 2022 even took Canada to the World Trade Council disputing this, and New Zealand won. But what the Canadians did, the Canadian government, which was the Trudeau government, the Liberals, they said, okay, well, we'll lessen those tariffs to let New Zealand bring their dairy products into Canada, but we're going to issue permits to only who could buy it. So they didn't give, they only gave 10% of the permits to the retailers, which were grocery stores, grocery chains, and they gave the other 90% to other Canadian dairy producers. Well, you think a Canadian dairy producer is going to buy New Zealand dairy products? Why would they when they have their own? So, you know, we don't have a lily white reputation when it comes to supply management in the rest of the world. It's not only the Americans that have a beef with this. It's the EU. It's the New Zealanders. And I mean, it's wasteful. Just look at it. We all know, we've seen over the years, I remember when I was a kid seeing this on TV, milk being dumped down the drain. Canada is one of the least productive countries in the OECD and in the G8. I mean, we cap the production of dairy. And if we overproduce milk, we dump it down the drain. Look it, we have a homeless problem. We have a social welfare problem. We have family issues with single mothers. Why cannot this excess milk be sold at a subsidy to these people that really need it? We're limiting productivity. We're hurting people that are in need of this, and it's only to one benefit, and that's one strong lobby group that has so much influence and interest. And no other political party will tackle this because they know it's a hill that they'll probably die on. But the PPC is a very principled party. We stand up for the people. We stand up for fairness, what is right. So that, and I know it hurts me here. It hurts me with some of the farmers here. Some farmers privately commend me on it, but then there's other farmers that don't like it. So you know what? It might be a hill that I'm going to die on too, but I'm taking the principled approach.
And on the subject of international trade and tariffs and that kind of thing as well, I know you had a bit of a different response than some of the other candidates there at the debate we had. But Todd, can you talk a little bit about what you think should be the response to the tariffs that have been implemented, then taken off, then threatened and that kind of thing? Just what do you think Canada's response should be?
Well, our response is completely different than the uniparty Liberals and Conservatives, number one, and it's also very much different than the Greens, and it's different than the NDP. And God only knows if it's different than the Bloc Québécois. I mean, they never were up here at all. They weren't even at the last debate. But our approach to the tariffs and the internet and the trade problem with the United States is very, very clear. We are not in support of retaliatory tariffs. I mean, this is a geopolitical issue. I mean, Trump and the Americans are playing a zero-sum game. Our response is tit for tat. We're going to hit you back. But this is a war. And in any war, there's different ways to approach it. You can take on different tactics. You can take on a different strategy. And one thing in warfare, whether it be real combat or economic warfare, you never attack or counterattack an opposing force unless you have 3-to-1 greater odds. But meanwhile, we have the Carney Liberals who are counterattacking the Americans, an American economy that's 10 times larger than ours with a more resilient supply chain. Like, I mean, this is only hurting the Canadian population. This doesn't hurt the Americans. This hurts the Canadians. Okay? Our stance, our tactic on this would be a more defensive approach. We would not put retaliatory tariffs on. We would fight the Americans on this defensively with a war of attrition. We will let the American consumer pay the higher price. We will still import American goods without having the retaliatory tariff. Okay? Mm-hmm. We will put the pressure eternally, domestically, on them within the United States. Meanwhile, while that is happening, we will strengthen ourselves by eliminating interprovincial barriers, which the PPC has advocated for way back in 2018. And the other parties only jumped on board in the last few months. I mean, the PPC's been ahead of the curve on this for years. You know, we've had a better economic platform than any of them. So that would be the first thing we would do. Secondly, we would lower corporate and personal taxes. We would reignite the energy sector. Okay, so we get the energy sector going full tilt. Okay, and something that a lot of people don't like to hear, but we would negotiate with the Americans. We would negotiate with Americans by putting all contentious issues on the table, and one of those issues does include supply management, okay, which is one of their beefs, all right? So that's what we would do. We wouldn't do like what Carney did, set up retaliatory tariffs, refuse to talk to the Americans, fly off to Europe, to France, to try to make a deal and got nothing, then go across the channel to England, try to make a deal, got nothing. All he got out of that trip, that three-day trip, was a handshake from the king. Okay? Now what's he doing? Europe is sort of shunning him on making a bigger agreement. Now there's overtures to China. Now, is that who we want to replace the Americans with to be our largest trading partners? China? China, a nation state which has executed four Canadians, which has covert police stations in Canada, and that infiltrates and manipulates our electoral system? Like, you know what I mean? Okay, so we have a beef against Trump. We're going to flush down the toilet, like, you know, two centuries of working together. He just says, that's it. Everything's over with the United States. We're done. Oh, you know what? We're going to have no choice. We're tied to them geographically. We have no choice. Basically, we have the same culture, the same traditions. We just have two different governments. Now, I'm not advocating for an integration into the United States. I'm a strong Canadian sovereigntist. But at the same time, we have to be real about this, you know, and accept facts. So that's our stance on it. Oh, and also, there's a lot of Canadian economists now that are jumping on board on this, saying that we should be taking the softer approach, the more defensive approach. So, I mean, it's not just the PPC saying this. I mean, economists at the C.D. Howe Institute are saying this. The Dean of Economics in Southwestern Ontario University, I'm sorry, I just forget right now if it's Waterloo or if it's Western, they're also advocating for that. So, I mean, when you fight any war, you can employ different tactics. You don't always have to attack. You can take the more cautious defensive approach, and that's what the PPC is doing, which is much better for the Canadian people.
And another thing I wanted to ask you about there, well, is your level of French. Obviously, the Pontiac is heavily Anglophone, or at least the MRC is, compared to a lot of other areas in Quebec. But do you believe that you can represent a riding within Quebec that has thousands of French speakers without being bilingual?
Well, you heard the debate like everybody else, and I'll be the first to admit it. My French sucks. I'm functionally bilingual. I mean, I can read it pretty good. I can comprehend it. My problem is getting the words out, especially in a debate like that. I mean, there's nervousness and this and that, but that's me. To get to your question, can somebody be a member of parliament in a predominantly francophone riding with just having limited comprehension of the French language? My argument would be, yes, they could, as long as they were still going to commit to improving their French, which I would. But, I mean, it's like if you're sick and you go to the doctor and you're really sick, do you care really if the doctor speaks your language? If he gives you a pill that's going to fix you, you'll take that pill. And, I mean, we have a lot of things in this riding that's sick and in this country that's sick. So, you know what? You might not like the language that you're hearing, but if the remedy is good, you'll still take it. I mean, look at in the past. We have had members of parliament that were unilingual Anglophones, and this place still prospered and grew. The thing of it is, as long as an MP, you have a clear comprehension and understanding of what the problems are, okay? Plus, we're getting to the point where AI can bridge a lot of these language barriers as well. I mean, just because my comprehension of the French language isn't the best, it does not mean that I don't care. And it does not mean that I don't understand. And it does not mean that I'm not going to act because I'll act. If you give me the, you unleash me in Ottawa, I'll act for the Pontiac. Doesn't matter if it's in French or English, but I'll do it.
Todd, we're reaching the end of our time here, unfortunately, but if there's anything else that you wanted to let our listeners know or anything else that we neglected to mention here over the last few minutes, I'll give you the last word here.
Oh, geez. Well, that time went quick, Caleb.
Yeah, it does.
Well, no, not really, Caleb. Just have a look at the platform. Stay tuned to the debate next week, and next Tuesday. There'll be more that comes out of that, but... No, look at the PPC. Hey, you know what? If I lose, I'm not leaving the Pontiac. I'll be here, and I'll still be fighting for the Pontiac. So that's not going to change. Win, lose, draw, I'll always be here, always fighting for the Pontiac.
That was Todd Hoffman, the People's Party of Canada candidate for the riding of Pontiac-Kittigan-Zeebe, discussing his campaign, as well as the party's policy platform. This is Caleb Nickerson with the Local Journalism Initiative.